upon us. No, seriously this time. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast, and it is Kissmas in July. Time to celebrate. I'm your host, Aaron Camaro. Another host right there, Chris Sinzak. Together, we bring you this show every week, and we're excited that it's our favorite time of year once again.
Yep, talking about the hottest band in the land.
That's right. We do it every year in the month of July. This year, we got off to a little late start because last week, we had an awesome conversation with Brian Damage Forsyth from Kix.
That was
and how
great.
Cool was he?
Wonderful talk. Awesome. I'm so glad he could come out. And I'm excited to have him at the Rock and Pod Expo.
Yes, very exciting stuff coming up. We're going to talk about Rock and Pod. We're going to talk about Kiss, of course, today. But first, we got to take care of the business. You know how we do it. We take care of our Facebook recommendations, our iTunes review, Podchaser. That's still a thing?
It's still a thing. We
at
just don't get any
check,
reviews
it was
on
still
it.
Still a thing. So get out there and leave us a review if you can. We really appreciate it. And when you do that, well, we're going to take the time to read it on the show, just like Jason Buckler did. He gave us a sweet, sweet Facebook recommendation that goes a little something like this. It was actually the Dr. Feelgood Motley Crue special on Rock and or Roll that had Chris and Aaron on as guests. I completely resonated with their passion for that album and that era. So I've spent the last couple of weeks working my way through the Decibel Geek back catalog. Nice. Would recommend it to anyone who feels the urge to air guitar or mosh when hearing some balls-to-the-wall rock.
Wow. Thank you, Jason.
That's a great review.
Great
I always
review.
Love that when we do other people's shows.
Yeah.
Like somebody that's a big rock and or roll fan would hear us on there and be like, oh, I'll give these guys a chance.
Yeah, that's
you
great.
You know? Or in a week or so, when I'm going to be on Cobras and Fire, somebody might hear that and go, oh, yeah, we ought to check out these Decibel Geek guys. They talk about them enough. They seem like nice guys.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
And then they find out we're not.
And then they go back to their original shows and be like, we've missed you so much.
Yeah.
You know, so it all works out for everybody.
Yeah, it was great to go on BJ's show. That was a fun episode to
that
do.
That was fun. And if you guys haven't checked that out or haven't had a chance to check out Rock and or Roll or Cobras and Fire or Rock and Metal Combat or, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, we'll tell you about some of the podcasts coming to Rock and Pod here in just a minute.
Yeah.
But like we said, last week we had Brian from Kix on. We did an Albums Unleashed. A lot of people were happy to see the return of an album. Unleashed.
Yeah, it went over really well, and that takes me to my next thing, the Geeks of the Week.
Yep.
I have a lot of names to read this week.
Yeah, man, that was a popular show.
Yeah, these are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter last week's Midnight Dynamite Albums Unleashed. Geeks of the Week this week are Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews, Keith Reynolds, Emily Shikitano, Ray Kuhn, James West, Sandy Lynn, Chris Carr, David Cathy, Derek Leyba, Shay Hargett, Scott Crouch, Ron Kent, Scott Stein, Kevin Williams, Greg McGlone, Shane Hebert, Greg Landry, Mike Parnell, 80s Hairband World, Ken West, Matt Porter from The Kiss Room, David Glenn, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Bill Elam, Adam Cox, Lisa Starchak, Wayne Cross, Brant Cattell, Brian Forsyth. The man himself shared it.
Yeah, he did. I like that.
Mikhail Burrell, Darren Lanoue, Chris Cunningham, Rockin' Ron Runyon, Decibel Geek TV, Aaron Baker, Paul Korn, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Karen Daker, Sneed Rock, Kenneth Roy, Joseph Capone, Kaiser Pena, Dan Chaput, Jay Sibluski, Eladio, Sean Cullen, Chad Leesener, Robin the Hood, Christopher Stokes, Digital Kill, Daniel Lee, and as always,
the Mooger Fooger. I see some new names in that list. That's very cool. We always like it when new people come in and check out what we're doing here at Decibel Geek, and we hope you're back with us this week and are also, like Jason Buckler, going back and checking out that back catalog because we've been doing this for like 8 years.
Yeah.
We've been rocking and rolling the world of podcasting, and there's a whole lot there for you to check out, so go on back and check out all our past episodes and stick with us for the future. And in case you didn't know, it's Kissmas in July.
Yeah. So, we going to do a little Rock and Pod update?
Yes, we definitely want to talk about Rock and Pod because there's some great news that just got announced this week.
Yeah.
About another famous, awesome rock star going to be making an appearance at Rock and Pod 3.
Yeah, the great Tony Harnell from TNT is going to join us this year.
How cool is that, man? This list of celebrities and rock stars that are appearing at Rock and Pod 3, it is awesome. I can't believe how many. I mean, give me this thing right here one time. Let me take a look at this. Michael Sweet from Stryper, David Ellefson from Megadeth, Brian Forsyth from Kix, Jason Bieler from Saigon Kick, Erie Vaughn from Danzig, Jack Gibson from Exodus. You just heard it from Chris right there. Tony Harnell from TNT. plus members of Exodus, Roxy Blue, Green Jello, Zen from Mars, Tora Tora, The Pumps, or no, what?
Pump 5.
Pump 5, The Rock and Roll Residency is going to be there, members of Wildside. I mean, you get to hang out with these people.
Yep. I also recently announced Kenny Olson's coming back.
That's right. Yep. I got a message from somebody who said, "Man, I'm really thinking about coming up. You know, I'm coming up from Florida. I'm not sure if I'm going to. Is Kenny Olson going to be there?" Like, you dang right, Kenny Olson's going to be there. And he said, "Sign me up. I'm in."
Yeah. Also, Drew Fortier, Jeremy Barber from Green Jello, and Andre LaBelle recently announced.
Oh, yeah. Andre LaBelle. We know him from when he appeared on the Decibel Geek podcast doing a Vinnie Vincent special way back
so
in the day.
So he's not going to the party down the hall. He's coming he's coming to our party.
Oh, wow. That's great.
But, yeah, so that's going to be fun. And then, of course, a ton of podcasts that are coming back and some new ones also. Just a long list. I think we're up to like 23 at this point. So it's exciting to have so many podcasts coming back to reconnect and hang out with people and – you know, pre-party the night before with the Rock and Roll Residency, 8-Ball, and Lipstick Generation. And there's a thing with David Ellefson that we'll be announcing soon. I can't say just yet. Oh, By the time you hear this, it might already be out, but I'm gonna play it close to the vest just in case. But you're going to want to stay Friday and Saturday night, and that leads me to my next point. The hotel discount we have is available through July 26th. So if you want to get a hotel room and stay at Rockin' Pod, you only have a little while left to get your room.
Yeah,
so,
you're running out of time, but that seriously, it saves you some money. Yeah. You know, and it, like I said, we could be neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, you could be right next door to me. You could be right next door to Chris. You could be right next door to Erie Vaughn from Danzig.
You might.
You never know.
Yeah, almost all the guests are staying at the hotel and all the podcasters. So
I think it's a good idea on both parts. You know, we want to stick together, and also they want to keep us all in one contained area
pretty much
as possible.
Yeah, we're all quarantined.
We're all crawling back up to our rooms after Friday night and after Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, fun weekend. So
yeah, it is.
So get your tickets. Go to rockandpod.com, click on the ticketing link, and also on that same website, rockandpod.com, click on the venue link, and that'll take you to the discounted room reservation link.
That's the way to do it. Save yourself a little money, because you're going to need a little extra money for all the awesome vendors that are going to be down there on Saturday at Rockin' Pod. And they've got albums, CDs, memorabilia, all the rock and roll stuff that you could possibly want.
Yeah.
They've got it, and you're going to have the opportunity to get your hands on it. And then, like I said, all these awesome rock stars are going to be there. You're going to have an opportunity to get all that stuff autographed, get your pictures taken with these guys. It's a really fan-friendly situation down here. We've done it 2 years leading up to this, and that's the cool thing about it. It's fans hanging out with the rock stars that they love and respect, asking them questions, getting answers, getting to see them up on stage doing special panels. Yep. We're doing a special Albums Unleashed with Michael Sweet from Stryper.
Yep.
You're going to be able to sit in the crowd and watch that, and then afterwards I might grab the microphone and come on down to you and be like, "Hey, you got a question for Michael Sweet? Ask the man. He's right here, and he's telling us the whole story."
Yep, that'll be cool. And my co-organizer, Joe D'Angelo, him and his wife are coming, and so he's going to come down from New Jersey, and I can't wait to see him and finally meet him in person. I haven't met him in person. We've been doing all this work behind the scenes, and it'll be great to see him. And he's, I don't know, you've heard of the other event that he's doing in October.
Talking about Cruise Fest?
Cruise Fest with a K.
Down in Miami?
In Miami, yeah.
Oh, man, and I've heard some really cool things about this.
It's an amazing lineup. He's got, you know, Ace Frehley, Sebastian Bach, the Residency guys are going to be playing down there in like an all-star jam. Bob Kulick, I believe, is coming.
Yeah.
Return of the Comet. It's going to be cool.
Hey, what's that?
We got a call?
It's that emergency phone line again. Hey, check it out. I got a caller ID on it this time.
Who is
it? I ain't messing around no more. What a coincidence. It's Joe D'Angelo.
Hey, Joe.
What's happening, Joe? Welcome back to the Decibel Geek podcast.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
It's
always
been a
good to be here.
Well, happy to have you on, because you've got a hell of an exciting event coming up at the in October, I believe.
It is October 28th and 29th in Miami at the DoubleTree Hilton Convention Center down there by the airport. They got a great facility, so it's going to be it's a great location to do an event like this.
Cool.
Yeah, I heard the commercial. I don't know who you got to read that for you, but man, he sounds awesome.
Like a rock star, right?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so, you know, as people that heard the commercial earlier, they can attest, it's a hell of a lineup. But why don't you go through the lineup real quick and then tell us a little bit about the show.
All right. What people may or may not know, for those that are just, you know, hearing about this, it's a 2-day music festival and rock and roll expo. And what we're doing is the International Kiss Exchange and Rock and Roll Expo will be both days. And then at night, we'll have lineups of bands. And that those lineups on Monday, we have KK2, which is the Kiss Cruise 2 alumni. They played on the cruise. The Number 13s, they'll be there. Then a band called Jaded Pass, which is a great New Jersey rock band. Their guitarist, Pete Fry, is a good friend of mine, and he's just phenomenal. They're going to love him. Of course, that's the night Sebastian Bach headlines. And that night, he's going to be doing the entire first Skid Row album from start to finish as part of his set.
That's wow. Cool.
So that'll be cool. And I mentioned him first because his opening act, which is what I'm going to get to now, is the Kiss Cruise All-Star Band, which that's the band that plays with Ace. They were the band that played with Gene when Gene had a solo band. It's I think, well, at least Ryan, Phil, and Jamie anyway. And then Matt Starr. Matt's an awesome drummer, sings some songs too. But those guys are going to be the All-Star Band. And they're going to have a lot of the famous musicians that we have coming into the event, jumping up and jamming songs with them. Songs you're familiar with, Kiss songs, their own songs. It's just going to mix it up and make it an awesome show. And guys like Bob Kulick, John Regan, Todd Howarth, Richie Scarlett, and John Corabi are both in the building. So I'm sure they're going to cut up and do something. And we have a few other irons in the fire for some famous musicians we're hoping to throw into the mix for that night.
Right.
So that'll be a lot of fun. That's the Monday night show. Tuesday, the Kiss Exchange and the Rock and Roll Expo happen all day. There's also going to be a pool party during the day, but it's a band called Kisterius from Holland opening up for none other than John Corabi. And if you guys haven't had a chance to catch his set where he goes around solo and it's just him, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The talent. That guy has more talent in his pinky than I have in my whole body.
Heck yeah.
So it's really fun to watch. I'm looking forward to that. Then it's going to be a pool party where if you've got VIP tickets or VIP tickets, you're guaranteed seats. And what's cool is even if you don't have VIP and you can still get in, you can float in the pool and watch it. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the idea of floating in a pool and drinking a beer and watching a killer concert. So.
Heck yeah.
So that's Tuesday during the day. Our nighttime show, it will be Kiss America is going to open up the night. They are a killer Florida Kiss tribute band, and they're doing the entire Rock and Roll Over album start to finish as part of their set.
Nice.
Which is actually one of my favorite Kiss albums, so that's going to be really cool to see.
Baby Driver Live, that's pretty cool.
You know, there's a lot of songs on that album that you don't hear anybody really play live anymore.
Right.
Not just Kiss, but even tribute bands. So it'll be cool to hear some of those tracks live.
That's awesome. I like that.
So they're going to open for Thunder Mother, the band from Sweden. They were on last year's cruise.
Oh, we're
those girls.
We're well aware of Thunder Mother. Yeah.
Great band.
It's a lot of fun, man. Those girls pack a lot of punch. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch again. And they're going to open for Return of the Comet, which, you know, you guys know are just stellar. They're such a good band. Return of the Comet's last two songs, Ace is going to join them for a unique couple of songs.
That's pretty cool.
So you could get like a Fraley's Comet reunion almost going on there.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's what everybody but Anton, although he played Budgie before. So on drums, you know, he's the drummer for Return of the Comet. He played with Ace too. So they all kind of intermix. And at one point or the other, we're all jamming with him. So it's going to be a neat lineup and something you're not going to see anywhere else.
That is awesome.
Any clues on what two songs they're going to do?
I think I know, but we're going to actually release that a little bit later. And I promise if you guys want, I'll break it here.
That'd be cool.
Okay, awesome.
And then, of course, Ace is going to do a full set. Right? I can't overlook Ace's band. If you've had a chance to see Ace's band live on this tour, they're killer. His band is just phenomenal. I mean, they're just the stellar musicians. And, you know, those are the same guys that are going to be playing at the Rock'em Pod in August.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Dang right.
So I'm excited to see these guys as many times as I'm going to see them this year.
Ryan, Jeremy, and Phil are great friends of the Decibel Geek podcast.
Yeah, we love those guys. They've been on the show several times. And to have them playing both of these events, you know, anyone who gets to go to either of these events is going to have a blast watching those guys play.
You could tell when you watch them play that they're cognizant of the fact that they are lucky enough to be doing what they love to do and getting paid to do it.
Yes.
And I forget who said it, but someone once said, if you find a job doing what you love to do, you're not really working.
That's true.
And those guys work. Don't get me wrong, but they just love it, man. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, nobody better to be doing those jobs.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what Ace pulls out of for the set list at that show, because I'm with so many diehard Kiss fans in attendance, I'm wondering if he's going to mix up his set list a bit at that show.
Well, we've been talking with the people in Ace's camp to do just that. They might pull a couple of those rare tracks that they've never played before, except for last year's cruise. So maybe if some of those tracks will come back out, so those that missed last year's cruise will get to see them this year. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Torpedo Girl again, because I thought that was really fun. yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen that song live, so it was a good time.
That's cool. Well, man, it sounds
there's a couple of things that we're doing. If you don't mind, I'll give you a little bit more info.
Yeah, okay.
Bob Kulick, of course, is a big part of this event. He's going to be doing things on both days. We're working on setting up like a Bob meet and greet guitar clinic kind of thing. So we're working with Bob, and he's just recently got endorsed by Music Man, Ernie Ball's Music Man. So we're just trying to finalize all those details, but that's something that's going to be coming down the pike soon. Last week, we just announced, and this is something for all musicians, anybody who is a musician that wants to jam with the All-Star Band live on stage at Cruise Fest, go to cruisefest.com, that's Cruise Fest with a K, and enter. You can send in your performance. It is a song, any song from the Revenge album, the Kiss Revenge album.
Wow.
Whether you're a singer, drummer, bassist, guitarist, I don't care if you play the didgeridoo. If you can kill it, send us a video and let's get you up on stage jamming with the band. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That is amazing. Where else are you going to get the opportunity to do something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wish I still played. I'd enter myself, but nobody wants to see the fat guy on stage anyway, so I probably won't.
Well, that's cool. And interesting that it's only for the Revenge album, so they're wanting to play a particular Revenge track, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and the thought was, of course, whoever sends it in, you can pick whatever track you want to pick. That's probably the track that they'll wind up doing with you, but you never know. Maybe they want you to work with them on other tracks, so they might see or hear you sing and say, wow, he could really kill Domino, and maybe that's what they want you to do. So
maybe,
we'll see, but just get your stuff in and you could be a winner.
What if you're a beautiful exotic dancer and you want to come up on stage during Take It Off?
You know what, send us that video. That could be fun.
And also send one to decibelgeek.com.
Yes. we can give us a good second opinion.
Well, Ace is going to be doing two other things too. He's really great with it's a Cruise Fest replica guitar, and it's a full size Les Paul. It's like a Les Paul. It's a replica, and it's basically Ace's Sunburst Gibson with the lightning bolt on the fret style, on the frets. His face from the solo faces from '78 on the headstock. You know, remember that guitar he put out a few years back?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a standard guitar. So we're having replica guitars made, and we're only doing 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity to get one signed and meet Ace. It's going to be a really intimate affair. You'll be able to meet him, get your picture with him, get the autographed guitar in a hard shell case too. And then we'll help you ship it back home so you don't have to bring it on the boat if you're going on the boat next. That's something that's out there.
Wow.
And the last thing I want to mention, and again, I'm going to talk in your ears off here, but I really want your listeners to know about this one, because you know, there's a lot of people that like to do the meet and greet packages, and a lot of people that go on the cruise, especially, you know, do Paul's guitar, do Ace's or do Gene's guitars, Tommy, Eric, whatever. Last year, Ace was on the boat. Ace didn't do any meet and greets at all. And I'm sure that was something that Kiss had worked out in the deal with them, that they just didn't want to deal with that. So what we're doing is we have the ultimate VIP package, and we are calling it the Sapphire package. That is going to get you a meet and greet with Sebastian Bach, a meet and greet with Return of the Comet, a private acoustic concert, which we haven't announced yet, so I guess I kind of just did. We're working on finalizing that with Return of the Comet, which I think will be really cool. You'll get a meet and greet with Ace Frehley. You'll get a VIP ticket into an event. You get the autographed Ace guitar. You get to be in for all the sound checks. You get to be involved in the private Sebastian Bach party that we're going to be having after his set on Monday night. You get to come out to the party.
Oh, wow.
As I said, you'll get a VIP ticket. Now, anybody who has a VIP gets access to a private bar that only the VIP people have, meaning that while the band is on, you can walk to this bar, get a beer, and walk right back to the spot you were standing at right in front of the stage.
Mm.
So that's going to be cool. There's so many different things we're putting into this Sapphire package. It's $39.95, $3,995 bucks. but it's everything. It's all the meet and greets, the autographed guitar, the custom, you know, seats, the early entry to all the venues. It's just going to be, put it this way, if I wasn't going, if I wasn't running the event, I'd spend the four G's and do it because that's worth it. I spent more than that to meet Gene and Paul.
Wow.
So
that's a hell of a package there. Yeah. It's like it's a soup to nuts package where you get everything. I mean, and this is just the Kiss Cruise pre-party, basically. Right. So, like, this is before you even get on the boat. So, like, you can. Just, I mean, there's probably people that are just coming to Miami just to go to your event that aren't even going on the boat, I'm sure.
I've actually had people tell me that, that they weren't going on the cruise for whatever reason, but they are coming to Miami. And I'll tell you, we are moving tickets. All the VIP tickets are gone. The meet and greets with Sebastian are gone except for the Sapphire package. So this is the only way you're going to get to meet these guys is to do the Sapphire. And there's only 9 of those left. So it's one of those things where it's an ultimate deal that's going to put you where no one else except 9 other people are going to join you, and that's it.
Wow. And so, pretty cool. What are the details again? Give us the dates and the website and all that again.
All right, the dates of the event, October 28th and 29th in Miami at the DoubleTree Hilton Convention Center. Everything can be found at cruisefest.com. That's cruisefest with a K, K-R-U-I-S-E-fest.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. I hope we can help you sell a few more of those Sapphire packages.
That sounds like so much fun.
And I would love to try to make it down to Miami ourselves to see all this because I think it would be a great time.
I really hope you guys do make it there. And if you do, we'll prominently feature you guys both days.
Awesome. Nice. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Joe. And I guess I'll see you in a few weeks.
You will. Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, see you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
See you guys.
Oh, man, I'm so glad he called. What an awesome coincidence. Now we know all about Cruise Fest going on in Miami in October. Sounds I want to go to that.
Yeah, me too. I got to scare up some money to go down there. That'll be fun.
We're going to have to threaten our wives or something.
Yeah, literally.
You know, give us the purse. Give me your purse.
But, yeah, that'll be cool. And so are we ready to get into today's topic?
Yeah, we are so excited to be bringing you Kissmas in July once again. You know, like we said, after all these years of doing it, it's like, what are we going to do? Right. What are we going to talk about that we haven't talked about with Kiss already? But we've kind of stumbled on kind of a simple idea.
Yeah.
Something easy, but maybe controversial.
It will generate discussion, I have no doubt.
Definitely a discussion generator for sure.
Yeah.
As today we go through the entire discography of Kiss and look at every single album, and we decide, in our own opinions, the very best song on each album, as well as the very worst song on every album. Will we agree? Will we disagree? Will the show implode? Stay tuned. It's Kissmas in July. Man, you know I love Kissmas in July, but at this point, we've been doing this for so long that it becomes difficult to figure out new things to do.
Yeah.
But today we're doing something that's pretty easy, pretty obvious.
Yeah, and I like doing episodes like this because it's just purely opinion. We don't have to do a ton of research or anything. It's just how we feel about things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we might be right, we might be wrong, you might agree, you might disagree, but hey, either way, it's all going to be a lot of fun. So what we're doing today is we're going down the list of all the Kiss albums, and we're deciding personally the best song and also the worst song on each one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what our picks are on this.
Yeah, because we're like we always said, we're the same, but we're different.
Yeah.
So some of these might line up, and some of them are probably going to be way different. Mm-hmm. I guess before we get going, I know it's not really an album, but I got to give a shout out to Cold Gin off the Electric Ladyland Sessions.
Oh, yeah, that's a great version.
Because that's an awesome version of that. As a matter of fact, I really love all those versions on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a bootleg, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an official canon album.
Right.
But, man, do I love the songs.
Also, the version of Strutter has like a totally different guitar solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those songs on that. But if we're going to do it officially, well, there's only one place to begin. The self-titled debut album, Kiss.
1974.
That's right. Awesome start.
All right.
So I'm guessing you and I probably are going to have the same best.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah?
All right. So who's going first?
I'll go first. So for Kiss, the debut album, to me, the best song is Black Diamond, and the worst song is clearly Kiss in Time.
I agree.
You agree with both of them?
I mean, Black Diamond's the quintessential Kiss song.
It really is, you know, and what makes that the quintessential Kiss song, I think, is it's all four members in their youth. They're hungry, they're trying to make it, and they're all four of them in a united front. they all put so much personality into the song individually, you know, that it's a combined force that you don't get throughout the whole catalog of Kiss. You know, later on in years, Kiss, you're going to get, oh, Gene brought this song and Ace brought this song and this is a Paul song and, you know, Paul also wrote one for Peter.
Right.
You know, so what you get here is a united front, and I think that's there's some strength in that, and it really shines through on the song Black Diamond. And as we're going to find out through today also, for my picks anyway, is, man, Kiss does some terrible covers. And it all begins with Kiss in Time.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, and actually, you know, the Neil Bogart from Casablanca pretty much lied to them, said that it was only going to be something used for the kissing contest promotion.
Right.
And they so they go in, they record it. Next thing you know, oh, yeah, let's reissue this with this song. Oh, hell no. They were basically strong-armed into doing the song. It's kind of fun to listen to because it's interesting to hear them do a song like that.
Probably better than the original.
Yeah, I mean,
by virtue of it being done by Kiss.
Yeah, but I mean, I like it better than the. I think Bobby Rydell did the original, but no, it's a goofy song, and it just it doesn't really fit with the rest of the songs on here.
Oh, definitely not.
But the I mean, other than really, other than Love Theme from Kiss, which is you know only got played a few times, and I guess Let Me Know, everything else got played all the you know that these are basically most of your staples right here.
Yeah, because if you didn't count Kiss in Time, I guess the only next option would be Love Theme, but. It's for worst, but I even like Love Theme.
I do too.
I love the groove to it and everything.
I wish they had recorded the full version that they had written that goes into Acrobat.
Right.
You know, and they, if you watch that Long Beach 74 footage, it's them playing the whole thing and it rocks. But
yeah,
like
it's pretty cool.
It's a shame that they left off the fast part that it turns into. But yeah, so yeah, we're in agreement on first album.
Right on. So far, so good. So I guess let's move on to Hotter Than Hell. Why don't you tell me your best and worst off Hotter Than Hell?
This is a hard one to pick as far as best goes because
really
there's a
hard.
Lot of great songs on this. I'm not counting in production or anything like that. I'm going strictly by what song is what song.
Cool.
For best, I'm going to go with Got to Choose.
All right.
That song is just that's just one of the lost gems of the early Kiss days, and I said it on the show many times. If the Rolling Stones or Bad Company or Free had recorded Got to Choose, I think it would have been a huge hit.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You're probably right.
Yeah.
So what's the worst?
Worst on this one?
It's hard to pick a best and a worst because when you get an album like this where it's all really good, then it's like, wow, there really ain't no bad songs on this album. There's terrible. There's nothing that sticks out like Kissin' Time does off the first one. So it's kind of hard to pick a best and a worst because they're all really good.
I guess I would go with Mainline, but I do like the song.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably the most forgettable one. A lot of people pick All the Way, but I always love the hook in All the Way.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great song.
That's one of my favorite Kiss songs and definitely, I think, one of the more underappreciated Kiss songs that are really good. For me, both different.
Uh-huh. I know what your number one
for
is.
For the best, I picked Watching You.
Oh, you didn't pick Parasite.
I was thinking about Parasite. Parasite's a great song, but I really like Watching You.
Okay.
And for the worst, I picked Coming Home.
Really?
Yeah. But again, this was one of them albums where it's all so good.
Yeah.
Even the worst song is a great song.
Right.
So Coming Home, I guess I'll call it my least favorite.
Yeah, but it's hard.
But it's not a song that I dislike because I actually do like the song quite a bit.
And
so.
What a showcase for it on Unplugged, open up Unplugged with it. And it really made you realize how great the song
is. Right, see? Yeah, you're right about that. Because
it kicks
listening
ass
to it on Hotter Than Hell, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's okay. But when you listen to it on Unplugged, they totally breathe new life into that song. And it makes you, like you said, makes you go back and say, I'm going to listen to that again.
Mm.
Maybe it's not the worst song on Hotter Than Hell. I don't know.
But yeah, first three albums are so hard to pick from.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Dressed to Kill ain't no easier.
Yeah, let's go to that one.
All right, for Dressed to Kill, my favorite song off Dressed to Kill is Come On and Love Me. And my least favorite song, and again, this one's difficult because I like all of them. There's nothing on here I say I hate. But I guess if I had to pick one least favorite, and I think you'll agree, it's Ladies in Waiting.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I know you hate that song.
I actually
like it.
It's one of my least favorite Kiss songs.
But as far as what's on this album, I think it's my least favorite.
So that's my least favorite, too. So for my favorite, I got to go with Come On and Love Me Too. Yeah. It's just such a great song.
It is a great song. So well written, clever lyrics, yep. Awesome hooks. It's got a little bit of everything in it that you'd want from a Kiss song.
References to astrology.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost highbrow lyrics for Kiss.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. A little too smart for Kiss. Although, fans, so you're good looking anyway.
Except for the line, you're good looking and you're looking like you should be good.
But I like that though because it's got that good flow to it. Yeah, the way he
like
delivers
wordplay.
It. Yeah, it's wordplay, but it sounds cool when Paul Stanley says it. Yeah.
So we're going to skip the live records, right?
Yeah, we'll skip the live ones.
All right.
So I guess that brings us up to Destroyer.
Mhm.
So for me on Destroyer, this one was tough, you know, mm-hmm. because I like all these songs too. And I really had to think about it. And what I was trying to do on this is because I get biased over songs I've heard a million times.
Yeah, me too.
And so I say, yeah, you know, that's a good song. But geez, you know, you hear it every time Kiss plays live. If you're going to hear a Kiss song on the radio, you know, chances are it might be Detroit Rock City. But the more I looked at the track listing on this album, the more I had to admit, you know, Detroit Rock City truly is one of the most recognizable Kiss songs for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a kick-ass song, you know, and the guitar work with Ace Frehley and Paul Stanley together on this one,
yeah.
You know, man, is that solo something.
Yeah.
You know, that stands out not just in the Kiss catalog, but in all rock songs as something really, really special. And as much as I love pretty much all of Destroyer, I got to give it to Detroit Rock City. It's legendary for a reason.
This is tough because it's between Detroit and a different one for me.
Not saying it was easy.
Yeah, I mean, just to be different, I'm going to say Shout It Out Loud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I know Rock and Roll Night's a big hit and all, but for an anthem, I'll take Shout It Out Loud any day over Rock and Roll Night.
I think so, too.
It's just more of a fun song. I love the trade-off between Gene and Paul.
Yeah.
And it's just – and it's always great. That's one of those – I know people complain about being played live too much, but that's one that I always enjoy hearing them play live.
Right. You know, if you don't like the song because it's overplayed, and that would be probably the only real true reason to not like it, mm-hmm. is because you go, oh, man, it's an obligatory Kiss song. You know,
right.
You have to play it. I have to hear it. But when you break it down, and it kind of goes that way with Detroit Rock City too, it's hard sometimes not to let something that you feel is overplayed mm-hmm. kind of warp your pick.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know, not
like,
to take that stance
at them
on any of these.
For what they truly are is just good rock tunes.
Yeah.
Both those songs are great.
Yeah, okay.
You know? But there's so many great songs on this album, mm-hmm. and of course the worst song is Beth.
You really think so?
Absolutely. What's worse than Beth on this?
I think Great Expectations is worse than Beth.
Great Expectations would be second to the worst, I think.
I don't know. It's one that I liked when I was a kid, but just, I don't know. But, it, you know, that's one of those in hindsight that just hasn't really aged well. Exactly. Give me the, you've heard Gene's demo where he's like referencing the band members, haven't you?
No.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you like you see Pete beating his drum and you know wonder what his hands can do, and you see Paul playing guitar. You haven't heard that one?
No, why'd they change it?
I don't know. His original demo was like him like talking about every member in the band, not just himself.
Wow.
So that was actually more interesting to me. Yeah. But and they, you know, they ripped off, I think it was Mozart on the guitar solo. It's just it's a Mozart, you know, melody line. But it's okay. It's an okay song, but no, I mean, Beth, I don't know. I know you don't like it, but for a ballad, it's an amazingly written song and still a huge hit, you know.
True.
But yeah,
true.
I'll go with Great Expectations.
All right.
We move to Rock and Roll Over.
All right, Rock and Roll Over's up next. What do you got on this one?
Very strong record.
Yeah.
For favorite on this one, I'd probably go with I Want You. I think it's a very complete Kiss song and one of Paul's best jobs of writing. He's kind of going after the Led Zeppelin Bad Company type vibe with the way he wrote this one. And another great one, whenever they play it in concert, it's always great to hear. The Revenge lineup always did an amazing version of this live.
They did. Yeah, when they brought it back, they gave it some little extra.
They would stretch
punch.
It out. Yeah. And it always sounded great with like modern distortion guitars and stuff. So yeah, I'd go with I Want You for the best.
I agree.
You would?
That was also my pick for the best song on Rock and Roll Over. Although it's really hard to pick, you know. I mean, you got such great songs. Ladies Room was another one
like
for
Ladies
me.
Room.
I really, really like the song Ladies Room. I love the guitar tone in that song mm-hmm. and the way it's all laid out. Baby Driver, one of Peter Criss's best songs. Making Love was another one that was right up there for me. Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, just that chugging riff in that song is killer. So yeah. Not easy to pick a best and a worst on this one. But for me, the worst is easily Hard Luck Woman.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
No?
I love that song.
See, and I was kind of, you know, I was... Man, when I was looking at these, it's like, oh, this will be easy. Mm-mm. This will be easy to sit down. You know, I know all these Kiss songs so well.
Well, as we get into the 80s, it'll be a lot easier.
Right, yeah. But even at that, you know, there's some songs that, like, I don't know. I listed my favorite ones off here, but that, like, Love 'Em, Leave 'Em.
That's my least.
It's all right.
I don't like that song. No. I never have.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the music and the guitar playing, but... Yeah, I hate Gene's vocal on that song. It's just comical.
Yeah, and Take Me, I think, is another one that I would put kind of on the lower side of Rock and Roll Over. But
maybe.
I'm just not a ballads guy, you know, and so...
Well, Take Me is not a ballad.
Hard Luck Woman.
Oh, Hard Luck Woman, you mean, yeah.
It's the worst song on here.
Okay.
It's the one that I would want to listen to the least if I had to pick these.
For a Kiss song, not so great, but for a Rod Stewart song, it would be awesome.
Oh, man, it would have been a great Rod Stewart song. You know, if, like you said, with that, what we were talking about earlier, had Rod Stewart done that song, it probably would have been a massive hit.
Easily.
A number one hit single.
Do you like Garth Brooks's version?
I mean, not really, no.
I thought it was great, too.
It was cool at the time, I think, because Garth Brooks was so popular.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people like Garth Brooks. And he was like the number one artist of that time across genres. You know, he was the man. And for him to come out and say, oh, I love Kiss.
Do you know the story behind why he ended up doing that song?
No.
So.
I just figured they needed somebody for Kiss My Ass.
Yeah.
And
well, they asked,
he talked about liking Kiss.
Yeah. So that's where it started. And from what I gathered, Kiss flew out to Nashville for like a middle of the night recording session with him. And when they got there. Garth, they go, okay, what are we doing? But Garth goes, I want to do God of Thunder.
Really?
Yeah, and Gene was like, no, Garth Brooks is not going to do God of Thunder. It's a bad move, Garth. Yeah. He's like, you're going to do Hard Luck Woman. So he wanted to do God of Thunder. Can you imagine Garth Brooks singing that?
No. I was going to make a joke and say, I want to do Mr. Speed, but God of Thunder is even worse.
Yeah.
For Garth Brooks.
But yeah, that was his choice.
What would that have been?
Maybe I... Well, they did when they did, and that may be like when they did MTV Unplugged. You know, when they were goofing off between songs, they played like a country western version of God of Thunder. That's probably where the idea came from, with Gene, you know, trying to sound country.
Yeah,
that's probably where they started doing that.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Gene was probably like, "Are you on crack? You want to do God of Thunder? You're in a country artist."
That's pretty cool, though.
If
Garth Brooks could have a choice, yeah, in a Kiss song,
that's what he wanted to do.
He would have wanted to do God of Thunder.
Yeah, I would have been interested to hear it. I probably would have cringed. But
should have saved it for the Chris Gaines solo album.
Yeah, it would have fit on that.
No, it wouldn't have.
Well, not much of anything fit on that album.
No.
Ugh. All right, so... Oh, yeah, Love Gun.
Yeah, so Love Gun's next. This one was really easy for me. The best song on Love Gun, in my opinion, is I Stole Your Love. And the worst song on Love Gun, so easy to pick this one. Of course,
the
it's
cover.
Then She Kissed Me.
Hmm.
Kiss doing songs with the word kiss in the title. It's not a good idea. This is going to come up again.
For my favorite on this one, I Stole Your Love is awesome.
It is awesome.
As a live song, it's my favorite opening song.
Yeah, totally.
That they've done.
Great song to open up live, too.
Of course, that was also the first concert I saw was Hot in the Shade, and they played that, so I'm a little biased. I'm going to go with the title track. Paul brags about this song a lot, and I think he should. I think it's a killer song. I love Ace's soloing on it. I love the riff. Always comes off well live. I know people get sick of hearing it, but and I love the bass riff in this song is great.
True.
It's just that kind, almost jazzy. Ding, ding, da, ding, ding, da, ding, da. It's a cool bass riff. So I'm going to go with Love Gun. For my least favorite,
there's nothing on here worse than
I don't mind Then She Kissed Me. It's not bad.
It is bad, Chris.
I'm tempted to say Hooligan over Then She Kissed Me.
I don't think so. Not even close. Hooligan's way better than that.
All right, I'll go with Then She Kissed Me. But Hooligan's the next to worst, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess you're
it's
right.
Funny though. There's a cut like Almost Human and Got Love for Sale. When I was a kid, I didn't really care much for, but as I got older, I fell in love with both of those songs.
Yeah,
especially Got Love for Sale. I didn't like that one at all when I was a kid, but now I love it.
I always liked that song.
When Gene's band played it on the solo tour, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Came off great live.
And of course, you got the vocal debut of Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Shock Me.
You're being very impartial because I was fully expecting Shock Me to be your pick.
Every Ace Frehley song. That'll change too as we get along here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to be honest on this one. And I love the song I Stole Your Love. I love everything about that song. And there's a bunch of great songs on this one. You can't discount Christine 16 mm-hmm. or Tomorrow and Tonight even is a good song.
Yeah, the anthem that never really was. Yeah.
And of course, Almost Human is killer.
Cracked me up that they did a version of Tomorrow and Tonight for Alive 2 and yet never played it live once. It's like, we'll record it, soundcheck, add audience.
Weird. All right, so let's count Alive 2.
Yeah, for the new songs.
We'll do side four of right. Alive 2. We'll just count the new ones. This was another one, too. I know you're going to expect me to say, oh, yeah, it's Rocket Ride.
Right.
But it actually, for my favorite song off the side four of Kiss Alive 2, it's Larger Than Life. Because that's just one of the greatest Kiss songs ever recorded.
I agree.
But really, every single one of these songs on side four of Alive 2 are great. I mean, it's so difficult to even pick one.
You mean there's not one that you don't think is great?
I guess if I was going to pick one that I didn't think was great, I would say Any Way You Want.
Yeah, the Dave Clark 5 cover.
You know. But even that one's all right.
It's a fun song.
Yeah.
It's cool to hear them do a 60-0 song.
Like out of all the covers that we've talked about already, this is the best one so far.
I will agree with you with Larger Than Life, but I will say Rockin' in the USA is my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I've never liked it much. It's okay. It's just, but it's a bit of a throwaway to me. But everything else is.
So you like
awesome.
Any Way You Want It better than All American Man? Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, I wouldn't agree with that.
Germany was really neat. Japan had much to eat. Come on.
Well, when you put it like that, I guess Paul, that is kind of...
Paul has made fun of Gene's lyrics on that song forever.
Yeah.
I'm flying in a 747. But for a guy who came here from Israel with nothing, I mean, it's kind of cool that he wrote a song like that.
Sure. Because, I mean, that's him. It's like real. You know,
he loves America.
It's not a sex song. You know,
That's true. It's him breaking character.
It's not an I'm awesome song. It really is Gene Simmons breaking character.
Is that the first song he's ever written that's not about... Well, I guess Going Blind or All the Way are kind of not sex-based.
Right.
But other than that, everything else is usually sex or demon-based.
Right.
So this is more just about being a touring musician and how much he loves the United States.
I love those songs off Alive 4.
Oh, I do too.
Studio tracks, all so good.
Yeah.
You want to do the solo albums?
Yeah.
All right. Well, first one to come out was Paul Stanley. I think we're probably going to agree on this one, I'm betting.
I don't know.
I'm betting we do. So for me, on the Paul Stanley solo album, easily the best song on there is Tonight You Belong to Me. I love that song so much. And I think easily the worst song on here, this one was pretty easy to pick, Hold Me, Touch Me. Now don't tell me you got them in reverse. You think Touch Me is number one.
Hold Me, Touch Me is a pretty cringeworthy ballad.
It's awful.
I love ballads, even pretty syrupy stuff, but it's a cringeworthy song.
I hate it.
And mostly because of his vocal delivery.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you were sleeping.
Yeah, I don't know what he was trying to emulate on that. But it's not Paul Stanley, that's for sure.
It's just way too... I don't know. It's just cheesy as hell.
There's some great stuff on this album.
When I was a kid, It's All Right was my favorite song on this record.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like a straight ahead Kiss song to me.
I always liked Love and Chains when I was
That's younger. A good one, too. But my favorite, which has been my favorite for the past few years, has always been Wouldn't You Like to Know Me?
You can't take nothing away from it. Like I said, there's a lot of great songs on this album. To me, man, Tonight You Belong to Me,
I love that one, too.
The way it starts out one way, and then just out of nowhere, it's like getting punched in the face by rock and roll.
It's probably the most dynamic song on the record.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more pieces to it. But yeah, this album's so good. Wouldn't You Like to Know Me is just great power pop. Like, if you're into old school, like Cheap Trick, the Raspberries, if you're into that type of stuff, this is the song for you. My least favorite on this one Yeah, it's got to be Hold Me, Touch Me. I can't really even consider anything else.
Yeah, because this one's so easy to pick a worse. It's a lot harder to pick the best song off Paul Stanley's solo album than it is to pick the worst song. I guess that's a good thing.
And Hold Me, Touch Me was the single.
See, that's crazy.
What the fuck?
The worst song on the album.
Why would you go with that?
Really, truly, the only bad song on the album.
Yeah.
And that's the single. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know why you would pick that, but all right. So that's Alive 2. So now we're going into...
Well, that was Paul Stanley.
Oh, Paul Stanley.
So let's go into Gene Simmons next.
Gene Simmons, okay.
This one was a little bit trickier, I think. Not hard to pick the worst, but kind of tricky to pick the best.
Because
it's... The thing with the Gene Simmons solo album is that each song is so different than the one before it. Like, each song on this album sounds like... The only thing tying it together is Gene Simmons himself.
Right.
Because it's like a different band on every song.
Yeah, there's so many guest players, it's crazy.
So, I mean, I guess easily enough, of course, the worst song is When You Wish Upon a Star.
I almost wonder if we shouldn't count that one. I mean, it's... I guess we can, but...
I mean, it is.
Yeah, it's on there.
He put it on there. He's got to live with it.
Okay. So he deserves the scorn he's getting.
Yeah, and I think the best song... It's hard to pick, too, but I guess I just got to go with Radioactive.
Really?
It's the hard rocking song that you'd expect. It was the most Gene Simmons Kiss-like song on the album.
That's true.
You know, there's some great stuff on here, but...
See Her in Your Dreams, though, was a Kiss song.
Right, but it's done differently.
Yeah.
It's not a Kiss song anymore. It used to be.
I'm going to have different picks for both.
Okay.
Because I'm not just as my
own. So you're not going to count When You Wish Upon a Star?
I'm not counting.
So if we're not counting that, I guess I'll go with True Confessions.
Okay. That one's not very good either. My least favorite on this album is Tunnel of Love. I've never liked this song.
I like Tunnel of Love.
It's annoying.
It rocks, man. I like it.
And then for my favorite, this has been my favorite for a long time, Man of a Thousand Faces. I love that he wrote a song about Lon Chaney, and I love the string section on it. And I still say, and I've said this on the show before, if they did like a heavy version of this with the guitars doing the string section part, it would be a badass song.
True.
Do you know he wrote that during Dress to Kill sessions?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes all the way back to 75.
But I suppose that version's probably way different than what ended up on here.
But I love the him growing up on horror movies and writing a song about Lon Chaney. I think that's cool.
When I was looking at this and I say, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go with Radioactive because it's the heaviest, hardest rocking song on here. It's the most Gene Simmons of Kiss-like song on here. But, Man of a Thousand Faces, that one was kind of up in contention too with it when I was kind of juggling. And Mr. Make-Believe.
I like that one too.
It's my favorite Beatles song.
It's a great Beatles song. See You Tonight's a good Beatles song, too.
Yeah. Yeah, weird album.
But that album...
Just a strange
one. I appreciate it more now than I used to.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to just dog it out and hate it. But now there's several songs I actually like.
See, I don't know. I think I'm the opposite. I think when I was young, little kid listening to these albums, looking at the album cover with a little bit of blood dribbling out of his mouth, and it's like, wow, the demon, And I think it made me... like it more than it really is good. Now that I'm older, I think I got more of a different perspective on it. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, man. It's about 25%.
Yeah. You got to be in the right mood to listen to it.
That's true, too. You can be in the mood to listen to something. Like, if Man of a Thousand Faces comes on, I could be listening to Slayer and Metallica and Anthrax, and then this comes on, and I'll be like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like a break.
Yeah, you take a little break. But it's still good, Sometimes, I know that I'm the hard rocker, I don't like the ballads, but, I mean... I do love the good ballads.
You appreciate the right ones. Yeah.
And there are some really good ones on here.
Yeah. All right. So we doing Ace now?
Yeah. Let's go to Ace. For me on this one, for the worst, how do you pick a worst song on the greatest album?
This is the hardest thing you've had to do today.
So I guess I had to just break it down and call it Fractured Mirror.
Really?
Because it's just the instrumental, and I love every song on this album, And this is my, desert island album. If I could only have one album to listen to for the rest of my life, I think this would be it. And so every song on here is something I love.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess if I got to pick one, I'll go with the instrumental. But my favorite song off the Ace Frehley solo album from 1978 is Speedin' Back to My Baby.
It's a great one.
Just because of the guitar tone.
And yeah, the guitar riff just, is great.
Oh, man. It's so good. I love that song so much. And the solo. You know, somebody says, oh, Ace Frehley ain't that great of a guitar player. Hold on a second, sucker. Let me play you the solo from Speedin' Back to My Baby. Now you tell me what you just said.
Oh, yeah, the backwards solo.
Yeah, it's awesome. It sounds so good.
So I'm going to have different picks than you on this one, too.
Okay.
For my favorite, I got to go with Rip It Out.
Rip It Out's awesome.
That's just, and you know, and also, you know, he brought it back for the Frehley's Comet days. They always played it
live.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just a killer song. I love Anton's little drum breakdown in the middle of it.
Yes.
For my least favorite, this is going to piss some people off. I'm going to go with New York Groove. I've never thought this song was all that. It's catchy, I know, but there's just not a lot to it.
Yeah, I guess if I was looking at these and I had to pick my bottom three, it would be Fractured Mirror, New York Groove, and I guess Wiped Out.
Wiped Out. Yeah, I didn't care much for Wiped Out back at the time. But, I mean, all the songs have merit to them. But yeah, New York Groove just, I don't know, never did much to me. If I'm picking a Russ Ballard song that he covers, I'll take End of the Night from Frehley's Comet over
End
that.
End of the Night's a pretty great song.
But New York Groove is, it's interesting. It's kind of surprising. It became a hit because it was the 70s, because it sounds like a very dated song to this day.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is wild. You know, New York Groove, again, not the best song on the album, but that's the single, and it does all right. You know, it's not like a number one hit single or anything, but by Kiss solo album standards, it does the best.
Yeah, it was the big hit.
Yeah, it's weird. Weird how that all worked back then.
Amazing record,
late 70s were a strange time.
Yeah, a lot of drugs.
All right, so that brings us up to the...
So speaking of lots of drugs...
The final of the four solo albums to be released in 1978, The Catman, Peter Criss. What do you got?
Wow. Where do I start?
It's hard to pick a best and hard to pick a worst off of this.
Kind of really is. I mean, there are things I like on this, but
right?
like with Jeans, you have to be in the right mood for certain
things.
I used to really love I Can't Stop the Rain probably more than everything, but I'm not going to go with that for my favorite right now because, you know, our moods change all the time. I'm going to go with a different ballad. I'm going to go with Don't You Let Me Down. I just think it's a cool ballad, and Peter's voice is great on it, and it's very 70s. You know, you listen to it, it sounds like 1978.
Yeah.
For least favorite, Jesus. I'm going to go with You Matter to Me.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah, I hate that song.
See, that's a song to me that sounds like classic AM 70s gold.
Too much, though. I hate the synthesizer part in it. It's like a disco song.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other candidates for the worst song on this, but I'll go with that today.
All right. Well, I disagree with you on both of those.
Okay.
For me, the best song on the Peter Criss solo album is That's the Kind of Sugar Papa Likes.
Oh,
what?
That song sucks.
It's like the most hard rocking song on the album. It's like the only song that doesn't have a lot of saxophone overkill.
That's like picking the most hard rocking song on a Bread album. You know what the song's about, don't you?
What, Peter Criss, It's Kind of Sugar Papa Likes?
It's about heroin.
Really?
Yeah. It's about it. It sounds like he's singing about a girl, but he's singing about heroin.
Wow.
It's like a love letter to heroin.
Wow.
Yeah. Him and Stan Penridge wrote that.
That makes it that much cooler.
That dates back to the Chelsea days.
Really?
Yeah, they recorded that for the Chelsea album.
That's wild.
Several of these songs are from those days, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
The worst song on this album? Come on, man.
What?
You can't put the word kiss in the title. It's Kiss the Girl Goodbye.
I like that one, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's just cheesy ballads. And I mean, yeah, there's nothing. I'm not like beating my chest that I'm loving these songs, but I like them.
The songs I like off of here, I like I'm Gonna Love You, I think is a good song. Tossin' and Turnin' is really cool. I like his version of that.
I do too. I like the live version they did of that.
Kind of Sugar Papa Likes.
You don't like Easy Thing?
Not really. I don't know.
I'm trying to turn you into a ballad person. This is one of them
albums that you really have to be in a certain kind of mood. But I will tell you something about this. You know, when I'm riding with my wife in her car and I got control of the radio because I bring the iPod with, and I learned something a couple of weeks ago when I thought, okay, you know, the wife's been to some Gwar concerts and she likes Gwar. I'm going to play some Gwar today. And we almost got into like a road rage situation. I was like, oh shit, no more Gwar for you. You know, you're cut off.
Oh, it made her angry?
Yeah. So this last time I said, okay, I'm just going to play some mellow rock. You know, so I got my iPod separated from the heavy to the rock to the lighter kind of stuff, you know. And so I put that on the shuffle. And some Peter Criss songs started coming up, and she was digging it. She had no idea what it was.
You weren't telling her, though.
I wasn't telling her what it was.
Because then she go, ugh.
She was, yeah, but she was digging it. She was loving it. So, I, like I said, you know, certain mood, certain person, great songs, you know. Our buddy Greg thinks this is one of the greatest albums of all time. Greg Troyan.
Yeah.
Did the Thin Lizzy episode
of course he does.
You owe Baco 17 cents
I know.
For that
yeah,
reference.
Yeah, he's got that trademark. He's going to sue me.
But it's not for everybody, and 9 times out of 10, it's not for me. But I do like the song That's Kind of Sugar Papa Likes, and I do like the song I'm Going to Love You, saxophone and all, I guess.
All right, we got through that one.
All right, so coming out of the solo albums, the band is back together, fully reunited. Not really.
Mm-hmm. The Return of Kiss.
The Return of Kiss.
With Anton Figg.
Right, yeah. Brings us up to Dynasty. This one, I think, easy to pick my favorite, not so easy to pick my least favorite.
Okay.
I think it kind of sucks that Dynasty always gets stuck with the label that's the disco album, because there's only one disco song on it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of these songs are good hard rockers, and I like pretty much everything on this album. I really do. I can't say there's anything on this album that I hate.
Or no, I
would
like
say,
everything.
You know, it's terrible. So for me, I'll give you one wild guess what my first favorite song is off of Dynasty.
Hard Times.
No, it's 2000 Man.
Oh, okay.
But you knew it was an Ace song. Got 3 of them to pick from. That's great. And my least favorite, the worst song on Dynasty, it's the disco song.
I was made for loving you.
Which really isn't a terrible song.
No, I mean.
But it's the worst song on Dynasty,
certainly
in my
accomplished
opinion.
A lot for them.
Yeah, it made people look at him differently.
True.
Made people in, you know, disco halls go, oh, Kiss. And made Kiss fans go, what the hell?
2000 Man was a big deal to me when I was getting into Kiss. Like, I bought the cassette of Dynasty, and I've said this story before. Starts off with I Was Made for Loving You, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then I went to the next song, and it was 2000 Man. I'm like, this is much more like it.
Right.
But as of now, I don't really go back to that song very often. I'm going to go with Charisma.
Really?
Yeah, I've always loved that song.
It's a great song.
It's very simplistic, and I love the droning guitar solo on it.
It's
one of the most different Kiss guitar solos there is. It just has almost like a dark vibe to it. And Gene's lyrics are ridiculous, you know, talking about how awesome he is, but it's very Gene Simmons. That's almost like him abandoning the demon character and just being like, I'm just Gene Simmons and I'm all that.
Right, yeah.
So I'll go with Charisma.
I'm a sex demon.
And I loved it when the solo band played that live. That was so cool to see it being played live finally.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Lee's favorite on this one, like, I don't really want to go with I Was Made for Loving You, but...
But you know, as
I kinda have
rest
to.
Of these songs, you kind of have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I'd pick that one last.
I mean, because look what else you got. You got Sure Know Something.
That's a great song.
Which is an amazing song. It's not the heaviest thing Kiss has ever done.
Dirty Living almost was my pick for the best.
Dirty Living is a great song.
That's a very unusual Kiss song, too.
Yeah, and I love the way Peter Criss sings it. It makes it, like you say, it doesn't even really make it like a Kiss song, but man, is it good. Charisma, you can't deny it. You know, the riffage alone in that, you know, the way that song kicks off. Magic Touch, another one, not the heaviest thing Kiss has ever done, but still a great song. And then you got Hard Times by Ace Frehley, yep. Save Your Love by Ace Frehley, and X-Ray Eyes by Gene. And, you know, this isn't like we talked about with Black Diamond, where this is a fully united Kiss front. You know, this is them coming off their solo albums going, yeah, well, we each got our own songs.
Yep.
You know, so we're each going to get into our own thing and then play on them together.
But it's an album I love to go back to. It's different, but I always enjoy listening to this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I like Dynasty, and I hate it that it's got the reputation that it does, because it truly doesn't deserve it.
Now, if you're going to go off the beaten path, the next two albums is what really, really goes off the beaten path.
Right. And this one, too, was kind of tough to pick from. And it also, I think, is kind of a underrated album, you know, in its own way. Yeah, it could have been produced better. I think it could have been – some of these songs could have been heavied up a little bit and made a lot better. But they are what they are because it was 1980, after all. I'm talking about Unmasked.
This is kind of the new wave album, I guess. At least in certain cases. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at what was big at the time.
Yeah, the Cars and bands like that were huge. So I get what they were going for. There's a lot of good songs on here, too, though.
There really is. When you break it down and really look at it, because Unmasked kind of falls under the radar when you're thinking about Kiss records. You know, you're thinking about your favorites. Unmasked usually doesn't come up in your thoughts right away. But when you break it down and really look at these songs and say, okay, pick your favorite song off Unmasked, it's kind of hard.
No, mine's easy.
They're kind of equal.
Yeah. Well, damn, it's between a Paul song and a Gene song. It's hard to – you go first.
Okay, well – for me, I think obviously the worst song is Shandy. No? You're shaking your head? No. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Really?
No. That's definitely not the worst song on this
record. You're out of your mind. Shandy is so the worst song on this album.
That's a well-written pop song. You may not like it, but you can't say it's a bad song.
Right. I'm not saying it's a bad song. It's a bad Kiss song.
All right.
But by somebody else, it might have been... like one of those deals, you know, who could have done Shandy and made it a number one hit single?
Well, some people would say Joe Walsh because Paul pretty much ripped him off on the riff for this song. Like the music, musically, it's almost exactly the same as a Joe Walsh song that came out around a year before. But
in 1980, what if like the Cars would have done Shandy?
That's not really their style.
No.
It would have taken maybe
Shandy is different from a lot of the other
Toto or a band like that.
Yeah, maybe Toto or something.
A poppier band.
Yeah,
but 10 seats. It's definitely not the worst song on this record.
You don't think so?
No, there's one that's way.
Yeah,
and you're gonna get way mad at me.
Come on, nobody. And I look at these songs on here. Nobody would ever name a podcast after one of the worst songs on Unmasked.
I'm not talking about Torpedo Girl.
You're not?
No.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Because that would be my, besides Shandy, I think Torpedo Girl is the worst.
I think Two Sides of the Coin is just a complete turd.
Really?
I hate that song. The lyrics are fucking ridiculously bad.
No, are you being tainted because somebody ruined this song by using it as their podcast name?
I hated this song when I first got the album, and I still hate it today. I think it sucks. I love Ace dearly, but this is a terrible song.
Well, it's not as good as Talk to Me.
I met some ladies. I met some girls. But so they can tell that they just want to whirl? What the fuck?
Yeah, that is kind of
strange. The lyrics are absolute garbage on that song.
We ought to sit down and do a worst Kiss lyrics episode.
That's going
to
be a contender because the lyrics are just...
before the end of Christmas in July.
That would be a funny episode. Spend half the show on Gene's 80s songs.
Yeah.
So we got our worst...
We'll tear through that episode like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great lyric. All right, so we got our worst picks out. What's your favorite?
This one's tough, you know. I really like the song Talk to Me. That was one I always liked
Talk
when I was younger. I like You're All That I Want. I think it's a great song that doesn't really get a lot
That doesn't
of
seem
shine.
Like one you would like.
But these are kind of poppy songs. But like I said, there's elements to these songs. Like if this was produced in a different way, people would look at this album completely different because the songs are solid. But it's the presentation that I think kind of wrecks it on Unmasked. But, oh man, it's tough. I mean, What Makes the World Go Round is a cool song.
I like
song.
That one too. I like the solo on that one. I think Paul plays the solo on that song.
Yeah. So, Easy As It Seems, is that you? I got to go with... Man, this is tough, but I guess I'm going to go ahead and bite the bullet and say I'm going to go with Naked City.
Okay.
I really, really like Naked City. And
I think,
I think, again, it suffers from the production and the presentation way more than it does to say, oh, that's not a good song.
Right.
Because it's a great song.
It's a great song. One of Gene's best, actually. Him and Bob Kulick and Pepe Castro and Vinnie Poncia wrote that.
I wish they could get a hold of the masters of this and go in
remix.
And tweak the tones on the guitars and things like that on some of these songs.
Well, since you picked Naked City as your favorite, which was it was between that and this next one, my favorite is Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a great song.
This song, this is where I say if so-and-so recorded, if Rick Springfield had recorded this song,
oh, totally.
Would have been massive.
Yes.
Because it sounds like a Rick Springfield song.
Rick Springfield, maybe Cheap Trick, something like that, yeah.
It's a perfect pop rock song.
Something that's sitting right on the edge between pop and rock, you know.
This is one, and they released that as a single, too, and this is one where it's inexplicable to me that it was not a hit. It should have been.
It's one of them things where, you know, it's 1980, Kiss has been around for a long time, they're known for being this, but now they're trying to be this. So the fans that are already Kiss fans that actually stuck through them through Dynasty and said, no, you guys are idiots, there's only one disco song on this album, the rest of it rocks, I'm staying with Kiss. Then you get to Unmask, and then you're like, okay, clearly they're going out of their way now to do something that they're really not. Yeah. And even if it's, like I said, the songs are well-written, but, man, Vinnie Poncia co-writes a lot of songs on this album, and it shows, you know, it really comes through because he's going for what's popular at the time. He's looking to move a lot of albums. He doesn't care about the fans' perception of Kiss. He doesn't care about what Kiss does after this. He wants these albums to sell now, you know, because he's the producer.
Well, I think their mindset was probably, we already have this many fans, so we need to change it up and get more fans. But when you go that far away from what got you those fans to start with, you lose those fans.
Right. You lose the original fans. And with this, then you got, say somebody who's a fan of the Cars. You know, we're using them as the example because they were so big in 1980. Somebody that's a fan of the Cars, or even Rick Springfield, are not going to all of a sudden become Kiss fans.
Right.
Because if you're a fan of the Cars and Rick Springfield, you are against Kiss. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not for it up to this point.
Right.
You're not going to say, oh, wow, you know that band Kiss that I used to hate? All of a sudden I like them because of this album.
Right. Doesn't work that way.
It might happen one or two cases, not a lot.
Right.
In the most case,
Perception is reality.
New people ain't having it. Old people don't want it.
Yeah. You paint yourself in a corner. So let's get to... Ugh.
This one's pretty easy, I think. Music from the Elder.
I know what your favorite is.
Do you?
It's got to be Dark Light.
If we're doing a show up based on the guitar solos alone, then definitely
it's not your pick.
Dark Light, but no.
Okay.
It's Just a Boy.
You're fucking lying.
I'm not too young to be sailing. I love this song. Paul Stanley... His vocal power has never shined stronger.
Okay, Devereaux's created a cybermetric or cybernetic Aaron Camaro and sat him in the chair across from me. Something's wrong. What'd you do with Aaron?
I'll get you, Mr. Blackwell. You'll pay for that.
Yeah. That's not your favorite.
No, it's my least favorite.
Okay.
Clearly. It's everybody's least favorite. I've never met anybody, even people that are Kiss fans, that say, you know what, I like The Elder, you know, because there are some of us still out there.
Yeah.
Really do like The Elder. Nobody's going to tell you Just a Boy is their favorite song.
Probably not.
And if it is, it's probably maybe the only Kiss song they've ever heard, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have to be. All right.
If there's somebody out there that thinks Just a Boy is the best song on The Elder, we would like to hear from you. Explain yourself why.
Just get clearance from the mental institution to get on the computer.
Yeah, and we won't hold our breath waiting for that either.
Yeah.
So Just a Boy is the worst. Okay. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, you have to pick that one.
There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse in the entire Kiss catalog, I don't think.
That's debatable.
Than Just a Boy.
It's up there, though. What's your favorite?
Only You.
Only You?
Yeah, I love Only You. The only thing I don't like about that song is the vocal effects.
Like, yeah,
the guitar is awesome. The tone of the guitar is awesome. The song itself, the way it's written, the way it's put together, it's an amazing song through and through. Mm-hmm. But then you get like, tell me to see
him. Yeah.
That shit, you know?
That's them trying to be Pink Floyd.
Yeah, not cool. But other than that, as far as the one song on The Elder, if I had to take one and throw away the rest,
yeah,
I would sure miss that guitar solo off of Dark Light, but I'd have to go with Only You.
That was almost my pick for favorite. I'm going to go with Under the Rose.
Yeah?
Because speaking of guitar solos, I love the delay effect on the guitar tone on that. I'm not real crazy about the monks chanting and the, you know, loneliness. Well, I don't care much for that, but it's cool. That's like the one song that it sounds like they're being genuine and like they're trying to do this concept and it comes off believable. Most of the record, sounds like they're half-assing it to me.
Right, yeah. Trying to do either I don't know.
And Under the
Who
Rose
can explain it.
Co-written by Eric Carr.
Yeah, it's a great song. I like it. You know, there's a handful of things on The Elder that are worthwhile, you know? Okay, maybe not a handful, but you know, a couple.
No, I'm happy to move on to creatures now.
Actually, let's take a little pit stop in between because between creatures and music from the Elder, we got Killers.
That's got
four new tracks on it.
This is easy for best and worst for me.
I think so, too. I think you're probably going to agree with me when I say the best is Nowhere to Run and the worst is I'm a Legend Tonight.
No.
No.
The best is definitely Nowhere to Run.
Yeah.
One of the best Kiss songs ever. The worst to me is Partners in Crime.
Really?
Yeah, I never liked that song.
I like Partners in Crime. I think I'm a Legend Tonight is way worse than Partners
in
Crime.
No, I like that
Crime.
Much better than Partners.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that one was going to be a slam dunk.
No, I don't like – I never liked Partners in Crime.
I can't imagine why not.
Sounds like an Olivia Newton-John song. Maybe that's the production thing. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But the chorus is pretty weak. Partners in Crime.
But I'm a Legend Tonight? Come on.
I like that one.
I mean, it's okay. It's not the worst thing they've ever done, but I don't think it's the best song on Killers.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
This one. Man, that's what I thought for sure. Well, that's easy. Chris and I are going to agree on that.
We haven't had too many where we agree on both picks.
No.
All right.
Okay, so let's go to Creatures. This one's hard.
Yes, it is.
Creatures was really, really hard. Not just to pick the best, but also to pick the worst, because there's not a bad song on this whole album. You know, you can't say, easily this one's the worst song because, I mean...
This album's a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. It's a complete album. It really is. Yeah. There's not a bad song on it. So after a long time of contemplating on this, I said, well, I guess if I have to pick a worst, I suppose... I don't know. Damn it, they're all so good. I'll go with Keep Me Coming.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that song.
I do, too. That's the problem.
I mean, I love all of these.
The best one, I think, is the title track.
Really?
Creatures
That's
of
great,
Night.
Too.
They're all good. But every song, I mean,
yeah,
you could interchange all that all the time, you know, because, I mean, there's so many great songs on Creatures of the Night.
All right. For mine, my least favorite on this, and this is where I'm going to kind of confuse you, but my least favorite is the ballad. I'm going to go with I Still Love You.
Really?
Yeah. See, I do love the song.
When I was young, I used to hate that song.
Yeah.
I'd skip over it because the rest of Creatures of the Night is so heavy and so hard rocking. It would come up to that, and I'd be like, "Ugh."
But if I'm having to pick one song to discard, I would pick that one.
Really?
I do love it, though, especially the unplugged version.
I think it's the best ballad Kiss has ever done.
You might have an argument for that.
And so, therefore, I think it's, again, it's hard to choose off this one.
I'm just going with my feelings today.
Wow. Yeah, let me ask you, what's the worst song on Creatures of the Night? It's not easy, is it?
And for the best song, I'm going to go with War Machine.
Yeah, that's a great song.
That song just kicks ass.
Creatures of the Night, Saint and Sinner, I love it.
Yeah.
Keep Me Coming.
I love Danger.
It's not bad. Danger's awesome. Rock and Roll Hell is one of my favorite Kiss songs. I Love It Loud, you know?
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest things of being a kid was seeing that video for I Love It Loud because it's like, here's Kiss. That's what they're supposed to look like. You know, that's how they're supposed to be. How that video wasn't a huge hit when this came out in the early years of MTV, I guess people just didn't like Kiss no more at that point.
Right.
Killer, when I was little, Killer was my favorite song when I first got it because it's just so hard rock and it's like heavy metal Kiss.
Yep.
I love it. And of course, War Machine, man.
I love the riff. And the drumming. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great album. Hard to pick. We'll come back at the end of the show and have two completely different songs.
Oh, probably. So now the next one's going to be hard to pick from, too.
This one was a little easier than Creatures of the Night, I think.
Okay.
But I still had to struggle for it. I think it was easier to pick the worst song than it was to pick the best song. But again, this is such a great album that there really isn't. You can't say, oh, man, I like Lick It Up, except for that song. That song sucks.
Right.
There's nothing on this album that sucks.
Yeah.
This one was pretty tricky. For me, the worst song is Dance All Over Your Face.
Agreed.
And the best song is, I guess, pick one. I'm going to go with Exciter.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
I'd go with 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know how I feel about that song.
I agree.
Should have been a humongous hit.
You're the one that really called that to my attention. Yeah. When we talked about that so long ago about, you know,
could have heard that getting played on the radio everywhere.
You know what? Let me go back and listen to A Million to One time, you know, and see what Chris is talking about. And I listen to it and I'm like, holy shit, he's right. Just, you know, yeah. I really never took the time because Lick It Up's one of them albums that you put it on, you listen to the whole thing, and the whole thing is good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really start breaking it down to songs, yeah, you really got to look at each song and go, wow, this one's great.
Yeah.
That one's great. This one's great. Dance All Over Your Face ain't a bad song. It's not. Nah, it's the worst song on Lick It Up.
It's definitely the worst song to me.
But
Give Me More is a close second. I'm not crazy about that one either.
Yeah, Give Me More,
it's just,
I guess.
Playing fast for the sake of playing fast.
Oh, I like that, though.
The chorus is stupid. Give me more.
Yeah. It's still not a bad song.
It's okay. All right.
All right. So, Get Rid of the Makeup.
Yeah, now it's going to get interesting.
We're on to Animal Eyes. We've had this debate many times, and I've come to agree with you.
What?
When I really started looking at this and breaking down the songs and looking at best to worst, worst to best, I've had enough. Into the Fire is my favorite song off here.
Same.
It's just an amazing,
clearly the best.
Amazing song. Yeah, this is the one where it's like you looked at it and go, oh, yeah, I've had enough. Into the Fire. Yeah, easily the best.
Should be considered one of their classics, in my opinion.
Worst? Animal Eyes is an underrated album.
You know my pick for the worst.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go ahead and agree with you.
Oh, really?
This time, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you and say Murder in High Heels.
Murder in High Heels. Fucking awful.
It's still a good song.
No, it's
That's
not.
That's the thing. You
it
know,
sucks
when you look
ass.
At Animal Eyes 2, you look at this and go, wait a minute. Animal Eyes is pretty damn close to a complete album, too.
There's a lot of good stuff on
There's
here.
There's nothing really horrible on here if you don't listen to Chris. I actually like Murder in High Heels.
It's terrible.
But it just doesn't fit with the rest of the album.
Yeah, it's just a Gene
It doesn't
throwaway.
Really fit with, you know, I don't know. But I do like it. Yeah. It's different. I like the way Gene sings it. He tries to do something cool and smooth with
and
his
fails.
Voice. And I like it. I like it.
Sorry.
You agree with both those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. We got one we agreed on.
Yeah. All right.
It gets a little trickier coming up here because... I mean, there's some albums here that are top-heavy and also bottom-heavy at the same time.
So let's look at
Asylum's kind of like that, where, like, there's good songs and there's bad songs. But, I mean, it's Kiss. They're all pretty good songs.
Mm-hmm.
This one was pretty tough for me to pick. I really had a hard time. I spent, like, some of these I zipped right through. It was like, oh, yeah, Animal Eyes, I've had enough. Into the Fire, Burn High Heels. Awesome, easy. You know, Creatures of the Night, a little bit trickier. Some of these other ones, a little trickier. This one was tricky in a different way because I'm not the biggest fan of the Asylum album.
Right.
But I still do like all the songs on it. So I guess, this was a tough one, too. I'm going to say the worst song on Asylum is Radar for Love, and I think the best song is I'm Alive. Yeah.
You think that's the best song on this record?
I think
that's the worst song on this record.
What?
I think it sucks.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I just never liked it.
But it's cool.
It's just like, it's the, hey, we have to write a fast song.
They're good at it.
I don't like it.
I like it. I think it's the best song on the album.
Now, Radar for Love would have been my second choice for the worst song on here because I think it's bad, too. For my I think they were correct with the single choice. Tears Are Falling is an amazing Kiss song. It's a poppier song, but if it didn't have the extended guitar solo by Bruce Kulick that is so well done,
right. It
wouldn't be nearly the song that it is. I think Bruce kind of makes – Bruce is half of the equation for why that song's good. So I go with Tears Are Falling for my favorite.
When I was young, my favorite song
I'm Alive. Oh my God.
Was Any Way You Slice It.
I like that one too.
When I was younger.
That was the B-side to Tears Are Falling.
When I was looking at this, is like, you know, I used to really like All Night.
I love the riff on it.
I do too.
Yeah, musically it's
but
great.
But it's kind of goofy.
It's a goofy-ass song.
Radar for Love, not a big fan of.
It's a Zeppelin ripoff.
Yeah. Secretly Cruel.
That's a good one. That's actually
I like Secretly Cruel.
That's got
cruel.
An old-school Kiss riff to it.
What was that band that time that had that video on YouTube?
It wasn't even a band. It was a one guy who did all the parts and then like filmed himself as each member.
Do you remember
member.
What that was called?
It was called Double Virgo.
Double Virgo.
Yeah.
He did a version of Secretly Cruel.
It's like Rock and Roll
like
Over
a cover.
Style.
But it would have been like, yeah, if they would have released it in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Oh, man. It's so cool. Yeah. Look that up.
And,
Double Virgo
yeah.
doing Secretly Cruel. If you're a fan of old school Kiss, it'll make you look at these songs differently, for sure.
And I don't know if we've ever shared the story about this, but we were interviewing the guys in Gene Simmons' band over at their place, and we brought that up after we recorded and had them watch the video, and they were just flipped out by it, because like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then they took it and showed it to Gene, who also loved it quite a bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they were like, Gene, we showed the video to Gene, and he loved it. So.
He says, damn it, that's how I should have done it on Asylum.
Yeah.
That would have been Aaron's number one favorite song. Sure messed things up this time.
Honorable mention to Who Wants to Be Lonely. I love that song, too.
I do, too. Who Wants to Be Lonely is good. But
King of the Mountain.
But sometimes when I listen to these songs around this era, it's like what gets me is I listen to it and I go, Bon Jovi ripoff.
Right.
And the next one, this is a Bon Jovi ripoff, too. I don't want Bon Jovi in my Kiss songs. I want Kiss in my Kiss songs. And I think that's why I like I'm Alive, because it's got – it's hard, it's fast, it's heavy – and it's got like that good inspirational kind of message that Kiss delivers so well. And I think sometimes that gives it points with me. I always liked that when I was younger. You know, when you're young and you want to be cool, but you don't know what cool is. Don't know how to be cool.
Yeah.
But you listen to Kiss and go, oh, yeah, you just be yourself.
Yeah, they never were depressing lyrics. They always wrote uplifting stuff, even if it was about sex and partying. But it was always self-empowerment.
Yeah.
Especially in a lot of Paul's songs.
Yeah.
He's always been that way.
Gene, too.
Oh, yeah, like Trial by Fire. It's,
right,
I'm
yeah.
going to live my life the way I want to.
See, that was another one.
I love that song.
That was another one that was – I had three on here that were really kind of fighting each other for my favorite pick, and it was I'm Alive, Trial by Fire, and King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
And I love all three of those songs.
That album's aged really well. I love it.
If you're a Bon Jovi fan.
I am. But I love Asylum. All right, on to the album that most people call their Bon Jovi attempt.
I didn't pick anything off this album.
Crazy Nights. You didn't pick anything on Crazy Nights?
No, I skipped it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, you have to do it on the fly.
I refuse. No, I'm just kidding.
You dick.
So I've got one favorite song off here and 11 least favorites.
Oh.
No, I'm just
teasing. You sounded like Ralph.
It is not good. It's not their best.
It's a great album.
The worst song on this album, the front runner, I guess, out of the worst songs on this album. I just hate this song so much.
Can I guess?
You already know.
My Way?
It's the worst thing ever. It's the worst thing ever. My Way makes Bon Jovi look like Slayer.
We should put that phrase right at the beginning of the episode. That's great.
I hate that song so much.
It's great for a Stallone movie.
Yeah,
it sounds like a movie soundtrack song.
Should have been on
for a montage.
Should have been on Iron Eagle.
Yeah,
never but yeah, I mean, Eagle. Bad songs on here. Reason to Live, can't stand it.
Love it.
My Way is just the worst.
I'm not a fan.
My Way, I think, is the worst thing that maybe Kiss has ever done. Who is Bruce Turgeon?
He used to play with.
What the hell's he doing here?
I think he played with Lou Gramm. And Phil Ashley, who was the keyboard guy that Paul brought in, played with Lou Gramm, so that's probably the connection there.
Yep, that sounds about right. Paul Stanley and Desmond Child don't need any help wussifying these songs.
Oh, man, you're killing me.
Thanks a lot, Bruce Turgeon, whoever you are.
All right.
But yeah, there's some good stuff on here.
There is?
Yeah, there's a couple of good songs on here.
All right.
I'm a big fan of Thief in the Night.
Me too.
I really like that song, and that's easily the best song on Crazy Nights.
I would say it's the best.
It is.
And this is another one where I'm like, where this one was actually released as a single, had a video, but did not become a hit, which I think should have. I thought Turn on the Night was a great pop rock song. I think it's, you know, and that's Paul and Diane Warren writing that one. I think it was a great song. I love the video for it where they're playing live.
I'm not going to argue it. Turn on the Night actually is a pretty good song.
It's a fun song.
Especially for the time that it came out.
And it fits so well in 1987. I know they're going for a hit, but it probably should have been a hit. It surprises me that it didn't actually. It's weird that Reason to Live actually did better than Turn on the Night, because you think Turn on the Night would have been a bigger hit for them.
Turn on the Night's a way better song than Reason to Live.
It's certainly a more accessible song for rock fans.
But they both suck compared to Good Girl Gone Bad.
I like that one, too. I think Gene's songs have aged well. For the worst song, I'll go with My Way also. I think it's just, it's like two steps in the wrong direction. It's Paul
That's
going.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's a show-off song for Paul is all it is.
They should bring it back and put it in the set list today.
Oh, yeah, that would sound awesome. Jeez. Shredded version.
Ugh. Nasty. I hate it. All right.
Hot
and
shade.
We've made it past crazy nights. That's half the
It's going to get lean here in a second. So, all right. Hot in the Shade. You got 15 choices here.
Hot in the Shade's a tough album.
I have good memories of it, but there's a lot of filler on this one. And a lot of good stuff. But they needed a producer to cut stuff out of this.
Yeah. I'm going to go Worst Songs Forever.
God.
Because I just don't like
Come
it.
Come on,
I
man.
I just don't like it.
Yeah, but... All right.
I just don't like it. I mean, You're I get it. Mind. I get it for what it is.
It's an amazing song.
For what it is.
Bruce's solo elevates it above being the worst song on this record. Come on, there's way worse on this record than Forever.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about Read My Body.
Yes.
I totally forgot about All Read right. My Body. Okay, never mind. Forever gets a pass on this one.
I'm starting to wonder about
it. I guess I was looking at my iPod and Read My Body didn't make the cut.
There's several songs that are worse than Forever on this. Okay.
Boomerang's not one of them.
I don't like that one either. But Boomerang. I'll say Read My Body's the worst song on the record.
Yeah, I
easily.
Guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right.
So what's your favorite?
I think if I was going to pick a favorite off here, is this the same thing like you said? I've got great memories of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it
I
was
love buying
right
it on
at
release
that
day.
Age
yep.
When you're buying your own, you're looking at maybe getting to go to concerts.
Yep, first tour I saw.
You know, seeing them on TV, old enough to start seeking stuff out for yourself.
It was exciting.
But then you look back on it and you say, man, what a shitty album to come out during my Kiss heyday.
At the time, I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
At the time, it was pretty damn cool. I guess if I'm going to pick my number one favorite song off of Hot in the Shade, it's not easy. I'm going to go with Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell.
Do you remember Courtney Cronin-Dold's joke about that? She said Kiss has a song called – Gene Simmons wrote a song called Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell, otherwise known as Gene's Taint.
I do remember that.
Out of my chair laughing
That's
at that
right.
one.
She is so funny.
She is. All right, so I do like that song. It's not my favorite. I'm going to go, and this, we both picked ones that were not singles. So my favorite song on here, and has been for a very long time, was King of Hearts.
Really?
Yeah, I love the little lead riff part at the beginning. I like the lyrics on it are actually pretty cool. But it's buried. It's what, track 10 on the record.
Right.
Most people didn't even get that far when they listened to it.
They couldn't get past Read My Body and Forever.
And Cadillac and Dreams Silver comes Storm. Right before it.
I like Cadillac Dreams.
That song blows. Another song co-written by Vinnie Poncia.
Another one I was kind of considering for the best song in this album was Little Caesar.
I like that one too. But yeah, King of Hearts is my favorite on that one. Today.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
It's hard to do this.
So the next one I have to think we're going to be unanimous in what we think
is
the
best.
Oh, yeah.
This one's easy. This one's so easy. It's time for Revenge.
Yeah.
Number one song off of Revenge. Everybody knows it. It's Unholy.
By far.
It's like the best song Kiss did when they took the makeup off, I think.
Might be. Yeah. It's amazing.
And the worst song, that's easy, too. It's Every Time I Look at You.
Mm-mm.
What?
Not for me.
No?
No.
Come on. What could be worse than that?
Well, this is going to be another unpopular opinion.
You should have put that song on Crazy Nights.
I've never been a fan of Domino.
Really?
Yeah, I think it just sounds like a bad ZZ Top song to me. I always thought it was stupid.
Now that I'm a little bit older, I guess I can kind of see where you're coming from with that. But when I was young and it was new, loved it. I thought it was so cool. I thought it was like the quintessential Gene Simmons, look at me, I get laid all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I used to actually...
I'm the sexiest dude ever.
When I was just a bedroom guitar player, I used to like playing it because the riff's pretty simplistic. Yeah, it was fun to play, but I've never liked the song. Whenever they play when they would play it live during the Revenger, I'd just be like, oh, God, time to go take a piss. I just didn't like it. It bores me.
It's not as good as it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, but that's my least favorite on there. Every time I look at you, I'm not crazy about either, and it certainly sticks out like a sore thumb on this record.
Definitely,
it's like we have to shoehorn a power ballad in.
Right, when the rest of the album rocks hard.
Yeah.
If Unholy wasn't on this album, what would be the best?
That's a good
question.
That
makes it kind of tricky because Unholy is the easy. Yeah. Oh, I don't even have to think about this. It's Unholy. But if you really got to think about it. What's the second best song on here?
I'd probably go with Take It Off. Well, God Gave Rock and Roll to You, I guess I would go with.
Yeah, God Gave Rock and Roll to You is good.
Even though it's a cover, but it's an incredibly well-done song.
I like Paralyzed.
That one I like now. I didn't like it back at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb back then, but I like it now.
And if they just said the word fuck, I Just Wanna would have been so much better.
That was the one that came off great live.
Yeah.
Whenever they played that during that time, it sounded
because they brought
awesome.
The strippers out.
No, that was Take It Off.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
But I Just Wanna always sounded good live. Unholy, yeah. They never were able to pull off Unholy perfectly like they did in the studio. So it was a better studio song. But anyway, though, that's what we got for that one.
Okay. Not bad.
So now we go ahead 5 years.
That's wild. Yeah. Big break in between.
Carnival of Souls.
Carnival of Souls is kind of tough because I really like most of what's on here. And there's nothing on here I hate.
Oh, there's one I hate.
I know there is, but I like that song. It's not my favorite, but I like it. I know which one you're talking about. We'll go first. You go ahead.
Well, the one I hate is In My Head. I've never liked it.
Really?
That song. Yeah. What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to pick Childhood's End.
I don't like that one much either.
Because I remember last time we talked about that, you were like, oh, Childhood's End.
It's, well,
vomit.
It just, I don't like that one either. But In My Head just absolutely sucks. I don't like that song at all.
Hmm.
For my favorite, I'm going to go with Jungle.
Yeah.
It's just a complex song. It's got a great main riff. I love how it goes on and on forever at the end with all the little, you know, playing around, which is something you don't see Kiss do. A lot of people like Master and Slave better, but I like Jungle better.
Yeah, I went ahead and picked Master and Slave.
Yeah.
I like that. But I do love Jungle, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting at the time because at the radio station I worked at, they actually were playing that on the radio. They played the Jungle. And
I heard
it was
a couple
like,
times.
Wow, you know, we went from Unholy to the Jungle. And here's two Kiss songs in a row that are they're only things that are new that anybody's going to play by Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both damn good songs, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not My Way. It's not Reason to Live, you know.
You don't cringe when your friends hear it.
Right. No, it's something you can be proud of and be like, yeah, well, have you heard this new Kiss song, The Jungle? Yeah,
right.
It rocks, you know. Same thing like with Unholy. You know, I couldn't wait to take these songs and have my friends hear them, and I was hoping my friends would hear them to get the hell off my ass about liking Kiss.
All right.
Least favorite song on Carnival of Souls? I guess, man, it's tough, too, because I like them all. I almost was thinking about the Bruce song, but I really like that too. I'm going to go with I Confess.
I kind of like that one.
I do too, you know, but I think when I'm looking at it and I got to put them in some sort of order and figure out what is the worst, I suppose I go with I Confess.
Okay.
It's not the worst, it's not the best, but I don't think it's the best thing on this album.
Okay. So now it's time for the reunion record.
All right. We're definitely going to agree on this one, right? Yeah.
Probably not.
No, you don't think so?
I have a weird favorite on this one.
You didn't? Oh, so you did pick I Finally Found My Way as your number one favorite
How'd
song
you know?
Off of Psycho Circus.
How'd you know?
Because I know you, man.
No. We're going to be in agreement on the worst song. Can we already say that that's both our picks for the worst song?
Well, obviously.
Okay.
If I would be hard-pressed to find anybody who would listen to this album and not say, that's horrible.
It's a steaming pile of shit.
Just horrible.
All right. So what's your favorite?
Well, obviously, it's Into the Void.
Oh, God.
No? What?
Don't like that one either.
No.
I don't like most of this record.
I really don't either. On Kiss standards, you know.
I rarely ever listen to this album. Every time I've tried, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
My favorite is an oddball pick. I'm picking Journey of a Thousand Years.
It's not a bad song.
And it almost sounds like something that could have been on The Elder. It's so different from everything else.
Definitely.
But I love the way Gene sings it. He hits a lot of high notes on it. I love the string section going in the background. It builds and builds. And also it does the callback to the title track with the string section.
Yeah,
where
I do like
the strings
that
are playing the solo. Yeah. I think that, and the title track is amazing. That is one of Paul's best songs, so I'll give him credit for that one. But overall, just not a good record.
I like the title track. I like the song Within.
I do like that
Within
one.
Was really cool.
That's a Carnival of Souls record song.
Pledge Allegiance to State of Rock and Roll, I can take or leave.
Musically, I like that one.
Into the Void, I like a lot.
Hate it.
Like, when I listened to this the first time, I was so excited to hear it. Kiss was back, all four original members, or so we thought.
On one song.
You know, and then when I listened through it, I was like, oh, man, that Into the Void. You know, even if it wasn't the Ace Frehley vocal, the music, the guitar in it and everything, it's just easy. I think it's the best song.
Well, I'll say it does sound like the original band playing,
yeah,
but it's just not a great song, in my opinion. I wish they had played all four played on some of these other stuff.
Right, would have probably elevated some of these songs to be
absolutely
better.
Absolutely.
Like We Are One.
Ugh. Yeah, that would need to. No. That should have been on Gene's solo record, not on a Kiss record.
Yeah. You Wanted the Best.
Oh, that song sucks, man. Oh.
I like the way that they trade the vocals in it. I wish they'd done that with different songs.
Yeah, but it's just dorky.
It kind of takes me back to where we first started with this, talking about Cold Gin off the Electric Ladyland sessions, where Ace and Gene kind of switch lyrics a little, or switch vocals a little bit on that song. I really like the concept of all four members singing vocals on one song.
Yeah,
I like the concept of that.
But the execution.
It just doesn't really work with this song.
Yeah. That's cheesy.
No More War. Raise Your Glasses sucks. Finally Found My Way. It's the worst. Dreaming I always thought was pretty cool.
That's a decent song. It doesn't sound like original Kiss, but it's decent.
And Journey of a Thousand Years could have been the best song on Music from the Elder, almost.
It fits the vibe of it.
I like that.
All right. So now.
Psycho Circus. Golly.
So now the modern version of Kiss.
See, I think this is where we're probably not going to maybe even come close on any of this.
Well, let's see.
All right, well,
Sonic Boom.
The worst song on Sonic Boom, Danger You.
I knew you were going to say that.
Danger Me. Danger Us.
I don't agree.
That's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
It's one of the worst songs on it.
I hate that song. For the lyric alone, I won't listen to it. I was hanging out with some friends when that first came out, and my buddy Tommy was over here, and I'm playing it, and he giggles.
I'm sure he did.
And I was like, yeah, I know.
Musically,
it's not bad. And he looks at me and goes, danger you, danger me, danger us, really?
It sounds like something somebody's dad would come up with.
Paul Stanley, you're better than that, damn it. Embarrassing. You don't think it's the worst?
No, the worst in this album for me is Stand. I think that's a cheesy-ass song. It sounds like the theme song to a sitcom or something, like Family Matters or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like, stand by my side, I'll be next to you. Well, if you stand by my side, you're clearly next to me. It's just, the lyrics are stupid.
Yeah, get away from me and quit singing this stupid song.
Well, and it's also two guys singing about being best buddies and standing up for each other when you know they hate each other's guts.
And they never stand up for each other.
No.
They throw each other under the bus every chance
Somebody should do an edit of each of them insulting each other in interviews and placing them in between the lyrics. I can see Gene's ego from my house.
Right. Yeah.
Just look over your shoulder.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, bad lyrics all around on that.
Awful song. My favorite on this one is Modern Day Delilah.
Yeah, it's an awesome song. My favorite song off of Sonic Boom. And I don't know if people get mad at me for saying this, but I really like the song All for the Glory.
Yeah.
I like the Eric Singer vocal on that, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, it's not Gene or Paul singing, but damn it, it's still a Kiss song.
I don't mind it.
I think that's the best song on the album.
Tommy's solo on that song's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Modern Day Delilah, I think, fits in good with a lot of Kiss stuff.
I think so, too. That was the first song I heard when the new one came out, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, this is going to be cool.
All right, we're down to the last one.
What else? I mean, what about Russian Roulette, though?
I like it.
I like Russian Roulette. Never Enough is pretty cool.
No, I don't like that one.
No?
I like Hot and Cold. I like,
Hot and Cold is good.
Nobody's Perfect.
Yes, I Know.
Yes, I Know. That sounds like a 70s Kiss song to me. I thought that one was great.
Yeah. So there is decent stuff on Sonic.
Yeah,
Boom.
I just don't go back to it much.
No.
And I think Monster's a much better record than Sonic.
I agree.
Boom.
So let's get to that. That's all our final choice here today.
Wow. This took longer to go through than I thought it would.
A lot of albums. You know? We Kiss fans, we got a serious problem.
Yeah.
Too many Kiss records. Oh, man. But yet, here we are, wishing we could have more.
Yeah.
New Kiss album came out tomorrow.
Oh, I'd
be buying
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Damn right. And I wish it would.
Yeah.
I hope that even if they stop touring, that they still will get together and write songs and release stuff.
I'd like that.
You know, it's okay that you guys don't tour, but please don't stop making music.
Yeah.
You know, because we've gone through this whole massive catalog today, picking the best and the worst songs, but some of these albums, there aren't any bad songs. And a lot of these albums, if they have bad songs, there's only one or two. You guys have given us way more good stuff than you have shitty stuff. And for that, thank you, Kiss.
Yeah, I love Kiss.
Thank you, Kiss.
And the last album, I don't think there's a bad song on this record.
Yes, there is.
Okay, what is it?
It's a tie.
For the worst?
It's a tie for the worst. This was one where I just couldn't pick the worst one because I couldn't decide which one was worse.
Mm.
Musically, they're not bad songs.
Mm-hmm.
But lyrically, ugh.
What's the tie?
The tie is Take Me Down Below and Out of This World.
I like both of them.
Musically, they're not bad, but, I mean, come on. Those lyrics are... It makes fucking putting logs in fireplaces look like Shakespeare.
It's pretty sophomoric on Take Me Down, but yeah. It's almost like 80s Gene and Paul came back to write a song together.
But they're afraid to say the naughty words, so they're going to use some kind of goofy innuendo that makes it sound stupid.
Just compare your penis to a submarine.
Exactly. Be upfront about it. If that's what you're saying, say it.
Okay. So if you had to pick one of the – so they're evenly bad to you.
Yeah, they're pretty evenly bad to me. I don't know. Flip a coin. Pick one. I don't care. They're both bad.
I would probably pick... shit. I would probably go with Out of This World. Even though I do like it. I think it's a decent song.
It is a decent song, but I don't know.
Favorite song on here is hard to pick for me because there's so many that I like a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of actually good songs on here. I went ahead and picked Wall of Sound.
That's a great one, too.
But I think I could change that pretty easily, because I really like Stone Back to the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
I like Freak. I like The Devil Is Me. I think The Devil Is Me would have been a good song on Revenge.
That one was a grower for me. I didn't care much for it at first, but the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. And the solo on it's really good.
The Eric Singer song is also really good on
that
this
one. That one was one I loved right off. The one I liked the most when they started releasing songs from this was Long Way Down.
Yeah.
But when I think of this in hindsight, now that we've had a few years to kind of digest it, as far as Kiss ethos and everything, I think Freak is the best song on the record because it's basically sums up what being a Kiss fan is and what Kiss basically decided to make themselves, you know.
Not everybody can see our auras, damn it, and that's not right.
And there was a discussion that when they were making this record that Lady Gaga was invited to sing on Freak.
Yeah.
And that was going to be like a showcase for her, which if you think about it, it would have made sense because she's kind of that rebel and like, sure, you know, she calls her fans little monsters and it would have made sense. Regardless of the Lady Gaga connection, I remember Ken Mills, I think, came up with this idea. It was like the Kiss they missed the boat on a lot of opportunities. This song should have been put out as a single and had a video done to benefit like bullying programs.
Totally.
And have kids walking around in makeup, having people throwing stuff at them and showing how they get through life, you know. And then at the end of the video, of course, the kids walk up and there's Kiss there. You know, they like high five or something.
Blows fire in the bullies' faces.
And yeah.
And kills Tommy Thayer throws coffee at them. I like it. I think it would work. That would stop bullying for sure.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I think Freak is a good song that kind of sums up the whole Kiss ethos.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if these last couple Kiss albums get the love and respect
they
that
don't.
They do.
I love them both.
You know, but then again, when you're looking at a massive catalog and you've got all different eras and everybody came up in different eras and most people are going to love the original four no matter what, it's hard to stand up to that.
Well,
these aren't bad albums at all.
With Sonic Boom, I think it's a good record, but I do think it's them trying too hard to sound like they used to sound.
Yeah.
It's not as honest. Monster is more of an honest record.
I think so. I think Sonic Boom may be more of a tribute to themselves, and Monster is more of a tribute to
rock and roll.
What made them.
Yeah, a lot of their influence. There's a lot of, I'm going to say, homages to their influences, not ripping them off, but there's direct steals of a lot of old school riffs, you know.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah. But I think that's what they were going for. It's a love letter to their heroes.
I like it.
All right.
That's kind of what we did here today.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Yep.
Ugly.
And what do you think, guys?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you know how it works. Hit us up on the Facebook page when you see this. Of course, you want to share it, retweet it, whatever.
Yeah, make
and,
your list.
Become a Geek of the Week. But we want to know what you think. You know, if we were way off base, if we upset you, if we were right on the money, we want to know. And now we've got so many Facebook friends that we want everybody to be talking with us about it, talking with each other about it. So Kissmas in July, it's a celebration, but it's a celebration for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we invite everyone to get in on that conversation over on our Facebook page. Go do it.
Thanks for listening this week, guys.
Oh, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Kiss rules. The annual celebration of rock returns to Nashville. Rockin' Pod is back and bigger than ever in 2019. This convention brings together the best rock stars, music podcasters, vinyl and memorabilia vendors, cosplayers, and rock fans from all corners of the globe. Special guests include Michael Sweet of Stryper, David Ellefson of Megadeth, Brian Forsyth of Kix, Jason Beeler of Saigon Kick, Eri Vaughn of Danzig, and members of Exodus, Roxy Blue, Every Mother's Nightmare, Tora Tora, and more. Music podcasts from all over North America will be recording on-site all weekend. Special pre-party featuring The Rock and Roll Residency, 8-Ball, and Lipstick Generation on Friday night. Rockin' Pod Expo on Saturday. Join us at the Nashville Airport Marriott, August 9th and 10th for Rockin' Pod. Tickets and VIP packages available now at rockinpod.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.